But tonight I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 21. The Gospel of John chapter 21. It's so good to see missionary friends from Brazil. I'm encouraged when I see that, knowing that the Word of God is still being proclaimed as we've been admonished to by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate these fine people that have surrendered to the will of God in that endeavor to share the gospel with those of Brazil and wherever they have an opportunity to go. In verse 15, I want to speak about the greatest motivation for service. You'll be surprised how people get involved in service in a local church. Oftentimes it's because of position. They just want the position. Sometimes it's for other reasons. But I've learned in 52 years of preaching in churches across the country and pastoring some, that if you're serving the Lord for any other reason than a genuine love for Him, sooner or later you'll fall by the wayside. So the greatest motivation for service. Let's look in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, walk whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith to him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Simon Peter loved his work. He was an experienced fisherman. And along with some of his pals, we learn from the opening verses of this chapter that he decided to go fishing. He said, I go a-fishing. And the others said, well, we'll just go with you. That's usually the way people respond. But you know, they fished all night that night and caught nothing. In Luke chapter 5, Peter said to the Lord that we have fished all night and have taken nothing. Can I say to you that anything that begins with we ends with nothing? And so he said, we have fished all night and have taken nothing. But here he said they had fished all night and they caught nothing. But really, is it any wonder that they caught anything? Look who was in the boat. Look at verse 2. There was Simon Peter. He denied the Lord on three occasions. And then there was Thomas. He doubted the Lord. He said, except I see with my eyes, I will not believe. There's Nathanael. He debated about the Lord. He said, is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? Then there's the sons of Zebedee, James and John. They both had big egos and desired positions when the Lord came into the kingdom. And then there's two other disciples that are not even named. They're just disregarded altogether. So John wouldn't even write their names. All these men had one thing in common. They were self-willed. You can get a lesson from this. It is important about the company you keep. People can have an influence on you. Some good, some bad. So it's important the crowd you run with. And so here we find all this crowd in that boat, all of them going fishing, and they caught nothing. But the beautiful thing is, Jesus did not give up on them. Aren't you glad of that? In the Old Testament, the potter was making the clay, and he didn't throw the clay away. He made it over and over again. Aren't you glad he doesn't throw the clay away? Thank God he doesn't give up on us when we fail, when we do that which is displeasing to him. Their fishing expedition was a total failure until the Lord came on the scene. You find that in verses 4 down through verse 6. And there are three things the Lord did for these self-willed disciples. First, he taught them how to catch fish. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. He who created the waters they swam in and the fish that did the swimming, surely he should be able to know how to catch them. And so he taught them how to catch fish. And then he taught them how to... Secondly, in verse 12, we find that he fed them. And then we find in verse 19, he told them, follow me. Three things he said to them. So thank God, failure is not final when it comes to following Christ. Hallelujah. But now I want you to notice how that our Lord, in the text that we read, how he zeroed in on Simon Peter. Notice in verse 15, notice how the Lord challenged his love. He challenged the love of Simon Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? Simon Peter had denied Christ three times, and Christ asked him three times, lovest thou me more than these? So what did the Lord mean by more than these? I think Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Now, why do I say that? Because Peter had boasted of his love for Christ, you will remember. Peter had said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. And so our Lord is looking at him now and said, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? These statements, I think, suggest that Simon Peter believed that he loved the Lord more than the other disciples. In spite of Peter's faults and in spite of Peter's failures, he did indeed love the Lord. And he certainly was not ashamed to admit that he loved the Lord. So a great motivation for service is found in the fact that Jesus challenged his love. He wanted to make sure, Peter, do you love me more than these disciples love me? But then notice in verses 18 and 19, he not only challenged his love, he claimed his life. In verse 19, or 18 rather, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself. You put your clothes on yourself. And you walked whither thou would. You went anywhere you wanted to go. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Jesus had spoken about Peter's life and his ministry. So here he's not only challenged his love, now he claims his life. And he talks about Peter's death. Isn't that interesting? Peter had the assurance from the words of the Lord Jesus that he was going to live to be old, because that's what the Lord told him. He said, you're going to get old. And so Peter had that assurance that he was going to live a good long time. And when you're young, you're able to take care of yourself. And you can do what you want to. Go as you please. Go wherever you want. But when you get old, another will put clothes on you, take care of you, and lead you about, take you by the arm and help you in and out and up and down. You know that to be so. As you grow older, you have others to care for you. But Jesus told that to him to let Peter know something about how he would die. You see, when a person, listen to this closely now, and this is something people need to do during this pandemic we've been experiencing for the last 2 years. When a person has settled the matter of death, then he is ready to live and to serve. Get it settled in your heart. If you settle that, then there's no fear of serving. There's no doubt about serving. There's just a desire and a joy in your heart to do what you believe God wants you to do. When a person has settled the matter of death, then he's ready to live and to serve. Peter was told that he would live to be old, but the day would come when another would take charge of him and kill him. Peter writes about that himself in 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 13 and 14, he says, Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. I'm going to die, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He told him, yeah, how long he was going to live, and told him really how death would come about. And according to tradition, Peter was crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to die as his master, the Lord Jesus, had died. Now, Peter's death, when it came, it would not be a tragedy. It would glorify God. And when you settle this matter of death and live in a manner that honors God, your death will glorify God as well. Paul's great concern was that he would glorify God whether by life or by death. To the Philippians he said, For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Brothers and sisters, I got news for you. I believe the songs that we sing about how beautiful heaven must be. I believe that it's better over there than it is over here. There's no fear of death in the heart of this believer, because I believe what the Word of God says. And when my time comes to go, I'll go. All your prayers won't hold me, and doctors can't keep me. When it comes time, I'll be with him. Get that settled, and then all fear will be removed. You can live. You can enjoy the Christian life. You can render yourself in service unto the Lord. For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. So Jesus challenged Peter's love. And then he claimed his life. But look at verse 20 down through verse 22 and notice how he commanded his loyalty. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, that was John, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and he said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? John asked our Lord that question at the Last Supper. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He's referring to John. Jesus said to him, here's a good lesson for all of us now. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. Follow me, and literally, the word means just keep on following me. You know, Peter often took his eyes off the Lord. You remember when he was walking on the stormy sea with Jesus, Peter looked away from the Lord and he began to look at the winds and the waves, and immediately he began to sink. To Peter's credit, he realized he was sinking. As soon as the water came up over his big toe, he cried, Lord, save me. Most of us, you know, always feel that we still got a handle on all of our problems, and we wait until it's up around our neck, and then we start crying out for the Lord to help us. Peter knew he was in trouble the moment he began to sink. And he cried, Lord, help me. And we need to learn that lesson as well. He looked away from the Lord and began to look at the winds and the waves. Took his eyes off Jesus. And immediately he began to sink. When you take your eyes off Jesus and focus on the circumstances, you'll find yourself sinking. Many have been sinking spiritually the last year and a half because their eyes, their mind, their life has been focused on everything but Him. But Him. Boy, that's good preaching, isn't it? Can't hardly wait to hear what I'm going to say next. But that's what happens when we take our eyes off Him. Folks, what we're seeing in the world is nothing new. It's been going on since the beginning of time. In every dispensation, there's been some kind of a catastrophe or some kind of an event that got people's eyes off the Lord. And the devil works overtime making sure that you focus on your circumstances rather than on the Christ, the Lord Jesus. So here we see Peter look away from the Lord and he starts to look back. He heard footsteps. He looked back and he saw John following Jesus. And Peter said, what should this man do? The Lord rebuked Peter and reminded him that it was his job just to follow. Yeah. Our Lord in essence was saying, what John does is none of your business. Well, if we could remember that. He was telling him not to meddle in the lives of other believers. More people are being led away from faithfulness in the church because they listened to that crowd that was in the boat, the wrong crowd that was negative, and they get to talking about something they don't like going on, and before you know it, they're slipping off somewhere else. Can I say this to you lovingly? Mind your own business. You'll be greatly blessed by it. There are some people believe that God called them to take care of everybody else's business. But that ain't the... That isn't so. Eve's not here to correct me, so I'll correct myself. To be distracted by circumstances or by what others are doing is to disobey the Lord and possibly become discouraged and get detoured from the will of God. Just drifting along with what others are saying, what others are doing. Can I say to you, keep your eyes on Jesus and Him alone. One of the sweetest verses in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Just looking unto Jesus. Jesus Himself said, no man can serve two masters. So what everybody else is doing may have no value to you at all. No man can serve two masters. And then again the Bible says that, you remember in Luke chapter 10, I love this passage, where Martha, the Bible says that Martha was cumbered about much serving. Our Lord wasn't rebuking her for her service. The word cumbered means to be pulled in two different directions. She was more concerned about how the meal turned out than whether or not she was pleasing unto the Lord. Cumbered, being pulled in two different directions. Many are like that today. Pull this way and that way. Well, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. I don't know who to believe. I don't know what to believe. Believe the book. It's forever settled. Cumbered about much serving. James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A man got a mind that's going in two different directions all the time, shows no stability. He's unstable. So keep your eyes on Jesus. First of all, listen again now. Our Lord challenged His love. Do you love me, Simon Peter? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Then feed my sheep. That's my desire. I love the Lord. My calling is to preach the gospel. The Word of God, all of it. To feed God's little lambs. Why? That they may grow spiritually in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, if a preacher, if he's pastoring a church, or serving in any other capacity, evangelist or missionary or what, if he's doing it because of the title or because people love him or people like him, if that's his reason for it, when a little opposition comes along the way, he'll take up his tent and go somewhere else. He'll quit. I've seen them over the years. But the love you have for him is goes on and on and on. And he claimed his life. He said, Peter, once you get it settled about how you're going to die, then you're ready to live for me. And then he commanded his loyalty. Didn't matter what others are doing. Follow me. So Jesus wants our love, our life, and our loyalty. He wants us to follow Him and keep on following Him. Peter was a fisherman, as were some of the other disciples. and fishermen know how to work. I've never understood this. I may have shared this with you before. I'm not a fisherman. I don't have the patience. But I've watched fishermen, and I've never understood this. If fishermen go out in a boat, you find them casting their line back toward the bank. If they're fishing from the bank, they're casting their line out where the boat was. Maybe some of y'all can explain that to me. Peter was, he knew those waters well. I like this story where Jesus told him one time, go down by the seashore, Peter. Catch a fish. Open his mouth. Get that money out of his mouth and go pay our tribute. Y'all need to become fishers of men. They got money in them. Yeah. Fella said to me one time after preaching that message, he said, that's ridiculous. Where in the world would a fish get any money? No problem, I said. There was a bank on every side of the lake. You see, they have a fisherman, they have courage and faith to go out into the deep, let down their nets for a drought. They have much patience and they have much persistence and they will not quit. So Simon Peter was telling Peter, just keep on following me. And they know how to cooperate with one another. Jesus has called us to this same kind of loyalty. Cooperate with one another. Stay with the task. Stay with the job. Keep on doing what you know is right. And God will honor it. And God will bless it. Our pastor will not appreciate me for this. But when I say I'm coming to a close, that's what I mean. But I want to leave this thought with you. The words of a song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Let's stand, please. The heads bowed. I wanted to issue that challenge tonight. To stand for God. Love Him. Live for Him. Follow Him. Father, we thank You for the precious Word of God. Feeds our hungry soul. Help us to be more like Simon Peter became after the day of Pentecost, that just kept right on following Thee. We ask Your blessings upon this church family, some that are out due to sickness and various situations that are keeping them from being in church. Be with our pastor and his wife as they're on vacation, and every person needs it. I'm trusting the Lord that he's going to come back rested and refreshed. I pray Your blessings upon him in a very special way. We ask Your blessings upon all the leadership of this church. Thank You for it. Help us, Lord, to stand for God regardless of what others are doing. Keep our mind our own business, and our business is to please You. If I become the servant of men, Paul said, I'm no longer the servant of Christ. So I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.